Hello there. Thank you for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Looking ahead to a classic weekend. I'm me, Bruce Millington. My Racing Post tipping colleagues, Graham Rodway and Keith Melrose, and from Paddy Power with all the odds and hopefully a winner or two, is Graham Temple. This is a stacked weekend of racing. Let me take you through what we've got. We've got on Saturday the 2,000 guineas at Newmarket, plus three other races on ITV. There is the final day of the Punchestown Festival with two grade ones there. Loads of other good stuff as well. We'll see what the lads fancy. We'll get the Saturday naps. And then we will look on Sunday at the 1,000 guineas, three other races at Newmarket, and then loads of other good stuff. The ITV net is going far and wide today. They're at Hamilton, they're at Salisbury, sorry, this weekend. Hamilton, Salisbury, and all sorts of other weird and wonderful places. So, tons of stuff to get stuck into, but obvious place to start is the 340 at Newmarket on Saturday. It's the first classic of the year. It's the Kipco 2,000 guineas over a mile, and it should be a fantastic race. Really looking forward to it. Can't wait to hear what the lads fancy. First of all, though, Graham Temple, how do Paddy Power bet?
Very competitive race, isn't it? We've got Wembley atop of the market at 130, 4-1 Thunder Moon, 5-1 Battleground, Mutsusabek, is 11-2, 7-1 Master of the Seas, also at 7-1 One Ruler, and it's 10-1 Bar. And Bruce, we're going four places on this big race on Saturday.
Jolly good, 15 runners. I think we'll need it. We'll start with Keith Melrose. Jeffers, is there a horse in here, Keith, that you fancied since kind of last July and you're just waiting to put the final touches to a 33-1 coup, or is it slightly more puzzling?
Oh, it's definitely more puzzling. It is, I think, as it's probably a small stakes guineas this year, to be quite honest, it is extremely open. And, I don't think anybody can say, oh, they've definitely got one that should be, you know, a short order. It's a very, very competitive division. The horse I'm actually going to put up in my main bet in the race is one that I actually, until about a week or so ago, would have had down as, oh, he's not a guineas horse, is he? Is he from the Derby next year? But I've re-watched Van Gogh's last couple of races, and he is actually a bit quicker than you think, you know. He should have won the Autumn Stakes. He had One Ruler beat him, but he had all sorts of trouble in that race, couldn't get out in time and was staying on at the finish. And then he won at Song Clue in a race that has been won by some quite relatively slow two-year-olds in the past, but he won that day, and he went from last turning in to a furlong and a bit later, he was in front and a length or so clear. And Pierre-Charles Boudot hadn't done any more than just shake him up, really. I think he's a bit of a faster horse. His dad won the Irish 1,000 guineas, imagine. She also won the Oaks, of course. O'Brien doesn't run Derby horses in disguise in the guineas anymore. He hasn't since Australia. And I think the fact that Van Gogh is in here suggests that they do think he is faster than his sort of background suggests. I think he's going to outrun his odds.
Interesting. There wouldn't be too many guineas winners, would there, Keith, that have 4-2, 6-2 as their first form figures on their career CV. But yeah, that is very, very interesting. Van Gogh, Keith fancies that one to at least make the frame. And he'll certainly be hoping he looks a picture in the paddock. G-Rod, what do you fancy in the guineas?
Well, when I look at it and I see so many Aidan O'Brien horses lining up, I just think, well, the one thing we can be sure here is that he's not got a superstar in the yard. Now, that's, of course, not to say that he won't win the race with one of his lot, Wembley or Van Gogh or Battleground or whoever else he's got in there. But I don't think any of them are absolute stars. And you can probably say that about a lot of those towards the head of the market. So I think it's quite a good race for a punt, to be honest, Bruce. So there's a couple that I like at decent prices. I think Poetic Flair is overpriced for Jim Bolger. Obviously, has a decent record in the race anyway. And this was quite impressive when winning at Leopardstown last time. I thought a bit disappointing when he ran at the track last year behind St. Mark's Basilica in the Dewhurst, but I think he's worth another chance on his two Leopardstown runs, his last two efforts over seven. He should definitely improve for a mile. He's related to horses who stayed a mile and a quarter and a mile and a half. So I think Poetic Flair each way makes plenty of appeal. And another one, an absolutely massive price, I really can't understand why it's so huge, is Naval Crown, who I think is around about 66-1 shot at the moment with with Paddy's and four places on offer. I mean, how can you go wrong there? I mean, this was beat Master of the Seas only two runs ago at Maidan in a listed race. Yeah, I know Master of the Seas was very keen in that race, but nevertheless, I mean, he beat him almost two lengths. Senseless, really. I thought he was well on top at the finish that day, Naval Crown. And then last time out, he ran in the free handicap a couple of weeks ago at the track. That was over seven furlongs. Don't think he was really suited by the drop back in trip. I think he'd be much better suited by going back over a mile. Naval Crown, 66 to 1, massive price each way. So both Poetic Flair and Naval Crown, both each way for me, Bruce.
Excellent. Very interesting, G-Rod. Love that.
Just wanted to roll in behind him on Poetic Flair there a little bit. You know, that is a horse I probably will have a saver on. I watched his races back this morning, and what I've noticed about watching a lot of these trials is a lot of them have been won with more sort of stamina performances, whereas Poetic Flair looked quick at Leopardstown. So I thought it was a really interesting one. Him.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much. Graham, what is your Guineas view?
Again, Poetic Flair. Kevin Manning was interviewed after this horse won at Leopardstown last time out, and he just said the horse gives everything I ask, and uncomplicated, and clearly very talented. So in a very weak Guinea, well, not very weak Guinea.
I don't think it's weak at all, I think it's good.
Yeah, but there's no Frankel in here. There's no superstar in here. That's what I mean. It's wide open. Like you mentioned it yourself, the favourite. He's raced six times and his only win was in Roscommon, which is one of the lesser tracks in Ireland, you know, and all of a sudden your favourite for the big feature on a Saturday in the UK. I think it's weak compared to some previous years. It looks weaker to me. I think Poetic Flair being uncomplicated, we've got it at 12 to 1. We're paying four places. I could easily see that placed for a bit of profit and it could even stick its nose in front.
Okay. Keith, can you test this theory? Thunder Moon doesn't like soft ground, so there's an excuse for the Dewhurst. He was absolutely brilliant in the National Stakes and might end up looking an absolutely fantastic 4-1 shot. That's how I'm looking at it. You said that it's hard to have a strong view, but I've kind of got one. Can you talk me down from that one or endorse it?
You're putting a lot of stock in the soft ground thing there, on not a lot of evidence. On the Dewhurst run, he can't beat Wembley, can he?
Because no, he can't.
He's,
I agree.
He's behind them, and Wembley. I think Wembley. You could argue Wembley might have won that with a better run through.
Yeah.
So I think on that basis, he just isn't going to beat Wembley. You've got to put a lot of stock in the ground.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much indeed, gents. That was the Guineas. Really looking forward to it. A very intriguing race. There's three other races on Saturday at Newmarket on ITV, and we'll start with the 150, the My Odds Boost on Betfair Suffolk Stakes. Over a mile and one furlongs. And this is a competitive old affair as well, Graham. Take us through the betting.
Charlie Appleby's Bright Melody tops the market at 3-1. Bell Rock is a 7-2 shot. Maidani from Mark Johnston's a 6-1 shot alongside Starcat. Mascat is 13-2. And it's 10-1 and bigger than the rest, Bruce.
G-Rod, you can serve. What are you going to go for?
It's quite an interesting little race, isn't it? I thought it was interesting they were claiming off Bell Rock, who's got a great record at the track and goes well fresh, but he isn't missing the market now. So at double figure odds, I thought it might be worth giving Al Muffrey a chance. He hasn't really shown his best form since he joined Stuart Williams's yard, but most of it's been on the all-weather, and I think he's a better horse on turf. Certainly his RPRs would suggest that. I think he's £7 better on turf. And last year he had some decent form when he was trained by William Haggis. I just wonder if they've been running him on the all-weather, maybe with a hope of him bringing his mark down for the turf season. If that has been the plan, then it's worked, because he's come down from 95 down to 88, and he will have his first run on the turf since last September. So I think the switch to turf might see a good run from Al Muffrey at a double-figure price again each way.
Thank you very much, Gerald. If you remember, I'm chuckling, because if you remember the last time we were on the show, I realised that you sound a lot like Baldrick. And now, and a couple of people are tweeting and said, yeah, you're absolutely right. He really, really does. And I can't get it out of my head now. I know you're a big, burly, well-built guy and nothing like Baldrick, but you just sound so much like him. Has anyone ever mentioned that, or am I the first one?
No, you're definitely the first.
Okay, mate. You don't take offence, do you?
Oh, no, I very rarely take offence to anything. I'm not one of the new brigade.
No, I know, G-Rod. You're made of sterner stuff than that. You're a fine fella too, G-Rod. So Al Muffra, continuing your theme of big price horses. Graham Temple, let's see who you fancy.
When I first looked at this race, I thought Overwrite would enjoy stepping back up and trip because it plugged on well when third last time out 7 days ago. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that one fall into a place. But one I'll be backing in this race, lads, is a horse called Maskat, Rafe Beckett's charge. Rafe Beckett's been getting plenty of winners lately, and he put Laura Pete Pearson up on this horse at Ripon on the 15th of April when it got trapped for a bit of room at a crucial time. Still stayed on, finishing second, beating only three quarters of a length. Laura Pearson is a very, very capable lady jockey, claiming a very useful £5. She keeps the ride. So I'll be backing Maskat in this. I think it's going to go very close.
Will you be backing anything in here, Keith? And if so, what?
Yeah, I'll be backing Maskat as well. I would just add to what Graham said that this horse has got a lot of form at Newmarket as well. So the thing at Ripon was he didn't just, because he got trapped in that pocket, he didn't get enough time to unfurl. And if he will get that on the rolling mile, like, hopefully doesn't get find any trouble here. I suspect the Laura Pearson booking for Ripon has been deliberate ahead of coming back for this race specifically. So I think his horse has got a lot going for him. Yeah, Maskat's it's a relatively strong fancy for me, actually.
Excellent. The 225 is the Betfair Palace House Stakes. A burn up over 5 furlongs, a Group 3, and Lazuli. That's how you pronounce it, G-Rod. I'm sure you'll have your go at it in a minute. But he's the favourite at 2-1, Graham.
Yeah, we've got it at 2-1, Charlie Appleby's charge. 5-1, Come From The Dark. Garris is 11-2 alongside Judicial. Arecibo is 8-1, as well as Emirati Yana, and it's 11-1, bar those.
Blimey, Arecibo won the other day, and David Jennings wasn't on the show to tip him. Who do you fancy, Graham Temple?
I like an old golden oldie in this, Judicial. It was only beaten three quarters of a length in a similar race on good to firm ground here last June. Obviously returning from a break, but I could see it going close, 11-2. The oldest horse in the lineup, and I always like to cheer on a golden oldie.
Jolly good, Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I was looking through this race and I thought halfway through it, I thought I'm going to end up putting up a really boring bet on Judicial here, but he's been second in this race twice and all that. And I got quite a bit further down and I saw Dubai Stations in it, and he's now trained by Robert Cowell. Now this horse was really well regarded for Carl Burt last year. He won the sort of the Pavilion Stakes was in Newcastle last year, and he won that, went to the Commonwealth Cup. He's got loads and loads of speed. He watches running Deauville if you can last July. He was behind Royal Crusade, shaped like if they'd run that race over five, he'd have definitely been the second best horse in the race. And I think he is a really, really quick horse. Stiff five's great. Moving to Robert Cowell's not a problem for a horse that's, you know, four now and getting stronger and getting quicker potentially. Yeah, I think it's 16-1. I think it's 12s generally. There's still some 16s kicking about. I think he's overpriced.
16s with Paddy Power. And don't forget, if you ever hear us mention best prices or best odds or extra place terms or anything like that, they're all available on the Racing Post app. If you haven't downloaded that, you should. It's free and it's fantastic. Who do you like here, G-Rod?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that we didn't see the best of this favourite, Lazuli, last time out at Maidan. He definitely pulled his chance away. But he is priced up a fairly short price, isn't he, Lazuli? So I would be taking on one with Garris, who was beaten just a neck last time behind Came From The Dark in a handicap race at Newbury. Over this trip, there wasn't a lot between them at all. It was a real good battle between the two. Garris has got a £4 pull in the weights with Came From The Dark, and I think that might be enough for him to reverse that form. So Garris for me, Bruce.
Thank you very much indeed, gents. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Newmarket. A mile and 4 furlongs is the trip. It's a Group 2. It's the Betfair Exchange Jockey Club Stakes. And good old Pile Driver is back, which is great news. And I think he heads the market, doesn't he, Graham?
He does. We've got him at 2-1, 9-4, Saron Priestley for Mark Johnston. It's 11-4, Al Zarakan, 15-2, Pablo Escobar, and Thunderous is the current rag at 9-1 in that field.
Keith, there's some fairly slender fields at a lot of these shoulder races at Newmarket right across the weekend, which is disappointing, but it's pretty competitive, isn't it?
It is, and I tell you what, you wouldn't think there's a certainty in here particularly, would you? You could make a case for quite a few. I'm a little bit surprised to see Al Zarakan's not shorter, but that's not to say I'm backing him. He's the sort of horse I'd have tried to get beat if he'd been the sort of 2-1 that I expected. Pile Driver doesn't do it all the time, does he? And I think G-Rod and I are going to be in agreement on this because we are doing a lot on the stairs this year, and we were both quite impressed with how Saron Priestley beat Ocean Wind at Nottingham in the further flight stakes. I think this horse might end up being when a Stradivarius is bigger threats in the cup races this year, potentially. But on the way, he can potentially win this. I think Sir Ron Priestley's obviously he didn't run last year, having been second to Logician in St. Ledger. Bit of untapped potential there still in him. And yeah, I think he's the one I'll be putting up.
Okay, thank you very much. Does that chime with your thinking, G-Rod?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Sir Ron Priestley, very impressive, I thought, when beating Ocean Wind, despite being very easy to back in the market on the return from a long absence. I just felt maybe he might need the run, but he absolutely hammered Ocean Wind, who, as Keith said, I think ran well in the Sagaro. I mean, that is, for me, very, very strong piece of form if he can back it up. He was obviously second in the 2019 St. Ledger behind Logician when he finished ahead of Naef Road, who was second in last year's Gold Cup, so that form's very strong. And this race has got a bit of a history of being won by horses who stay further than a mile and a half. I think Dandino won it, he stayed further. Gospel Choir, Defoe a couple of years ago, he'd won over further. So I don't think the drop back in trip would be a problem. Sir Ron Priestley.
Thank you very much. Is it going to be a hat trick for Sir Ron Priestley, Grand Temple?
Well, there's no doubt Sir Ron Priestley is going to try and make all here. I'd be just a little bit concerned that the drop a couple of furlongs from its last win might not be quite in its favour. A lot of it has got to do with the pace set by Franny Norton in the saddle will decide where this race goes. But I just have a sneaky suspicion, and I could see Pile Driver just nutting them right on the line. But for betting purposes, I'll probably just leave the race alone.
OK, loads more great stuff to look forward to in just a jiffy.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to part two of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. We've done Newmarket on Saturday. Let's look at what else the lads fancy. There are two more races on ITV, the 205 at Goodwood and the 240 at Thirsk. And we've also got a couple of grade ones over in Punchestown for the final day of their festival. Concertista is in action at the 3:20 and at 4 o'clock. The juvenile hurdle top level race takes place there, and that's a rematch from the Triumph featuring Quilixios and Zana here. So let's see what the lads fancy. Keith Melrose, don't give your nap away, but just tell us what else you fancy.
So I had a look. The Hud Cup at Thirsk is on the ITV television cameras. It's 2:40, and I was looking through it again and thought all the way down, you know, that acquitted, it shaped really well in the Lincoln Consolation race. I thought maybe shaped best in the race. It's a very talented horse. It's only gone up a pound. I'm going to see myself back in this. And I still think he might actually be the likeliest winner. But then I saw that Scottish Summit was 25-1. And that's just wrong. He was in the Lincoln proper. He had his nose in the wind. He tried to chase that Godolphin horse that went off far too fast. And since then, he's been a very close third back at Newmarket in a good handicap again. He was also an eye-catching sixth in the Lincoln trial at Wolverhampton before that. I know he's eight, but he's better than he's ever been. You know, it's just one of those horses that he isn't progressive. He shouldn't be progressive on everything you know, but he is because he's never been better than he is now. So I'm not saying he's a likely winner that I quitted, but he's three times the price and he shouldn't be.
Scottish Summit, and you can get five places on that with Paddy Power, by the way. 16 runners, so that's good. Anything else, Keith?
No, that's it for me on Saturday.
Oh, short and sweet. G-Rod.
Oh, yeah, I've got quite a few for you. So, yeah, the 205 at Goodwood. I think Lilac Road will go very well for William Haggis. Won very well on the all-weather last time. And looks an improving three-year-old. Marmora will be the danger. Looks between the two, I thought. And the 240 at Thirsk. Cracking race. Astro King. So Michael Stout trains. He's had eight runners at Thirsk in the last 5 years, six winners, a second and a third. So he don't mess around when he takes them up to first. Now, this one's got to confirm the form with Nugget, who's since gone on to win the Spring Cup. A lot of people thought Nugget was a bit unlucky when he was beaten by Astro King at Nottingham. Don't really see that myself. I thought Astro King was well on top of the line. 3:45 at Goodwood. NCRB runs for Marcus Tregoning, who loves a winner at Goodwood, obviously, and has a good record there in a long and distant past now, but he always runs a lot of his best horses there. I thought this horse was a bit unlucky to go down by just a neck at Leicester last time.
Gerard, do you say scone or scone?
I'm a scone.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you call him Marcus Trigoning, you have to say Scone, don't you? It would be very weird if you didn't. Sorry, mate,
yeah,
carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, so I think he'll win NCRB 3:45 Goodwood. And in the last race at Newmarket, long lay for Sylvester D'Souza and Richard Hannon. They really rated this horse last season as a two-year-old. He was a little bit disappointing, but they gilded him over the winter and he came back and looked a much improved performer at Beverley first time out when he won by 2.5 lengths going away. The step up to a mile will really suit him. And then we're going over to Punchestown, where obviously there's another cracking card. It's been a great week there, hasn't it? Especially if your name's Willie Mullins, as usual. And in the 5:05 at Punchestown, the bar one racing handicap hurdle, I really like Gabby Narco. This was one of my bets of the week at Cheltenham Festival. And, absolutely. Okay, everyone down the school, when I do the schoolwork run, you know, everyone says, oh, can you just give us one tip? Just one tip that will definitely win at Cheltenham. So I gave the little Gabby Narco, and it basically ran into a faller in the first flight and got no further than the first, badly brought down. I mean, it says unseated rider in the thing, but something basically fell in front of it and he got brought down, and nobody has ever asked me for a tip down the school since. So Gabby Narco 5:05 at Punchdown. Hopefully we'll get my money back if I can't redeem my reputation with my school buddies.
Oh, fair enough, Gerard. Gerard, just quickly, what's been your highlight from Punchestown? As you say, fantastic week.
Oh, the performance of the week was Chacun Pour Soir, wasn't it? I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, how he went off at that mad gallop with Alaho and sustained it. Coming off the home bend, I thought, go on, Nubi Negras, this race has worked out absolutely fantastic for him. And Chacun Pour Soir absolutely hammered them from the second last. I thought that was absolutely superb. But, yeah, it's getting better and better every year, isn't it? Punchdown. Let's just hope that next year we can all get over there.
Have you been?
Yeah, I've been twice before. Yeah, I've
been brilliant, for a few years,
but it's a great week, isn't it? Especially now they've moved it to the twilights.
Very good indeed. Okay, thank you, G-Rod. Yeah, Graham Temple, I'm sure you're itching to get back to Punchestown at some point. What's been, before we get your Saturday selections, what's been your highlight of a great week?
I thought Energamine was extremely impressive.
It made me feel like we were robbed of a great battle there, weren't we, in the Arkle? What a shame that didn't materialise, but hopefully it will next year. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other one was Monkfish and Envoy Allen. That race not coming to fruition. Envoy Allen pulling up the rumoured with an injury. But Colreevy in her last career start beating the two superstars. And I'd say Paddy had a big smile on his face that day. Everyone was backing whoever they fancied, Monkfish or Envoy Allen. And the lady came and spoiled the party. But for me, Energamine, a young horse, and I tell you one thing, whatever beats that horse next year is going to have to be a superstar, because I think Energamine is going to be grabbing all the headlines in the big races next year, I reckon.
We'll see. Energamine v. Shishkin, almost got the Jura Lines flat horse mixed up there, is going to be a real highlight next year. Can't wait for that. Okay, Graham, back to Saturday. What do you like?
There's two really good Group 1s on the Punchestown card, the 3:20 and the 4 o'clock. But I was on the messenger to one of our leading traders, Ryan McHugh. He was on the postcast last week. And I said, Ryan, I'm going on the postcast. Give me a horse for Saturday. And he told me to back 10:10 in the 4:30 at Punchestown. So I looked at this one. It raced on Saturday at Punchestown. Well, it raced, but it didn't race. It whipped around at the start, was sort of just as the starter let them go and didn't take any part. And Ryan thinks that 10:10 is the horse to back at Punchestown tomorrow. And another horse that I would like to back up, Keith Melrose sentiments on Scottish Summit and that 2:40 at Thirsk. Because Geoffrey Harker, who does not get very many winners at all, the last six runners he sent to post, he's had two winners and 2 seconds, stable is flying. And I have to go along with Keith that Scottish Summit certainly looks very much overpriced in the 2:40 at Thirsk. So with the five places, I'd be backing that one each way this Saturday.
It's Geoff Harker who's recovering from an awful incident, isn't it, Keith? Didn't he have a fall at home? And he's been really poorly, hasn't he?
Yeah, so that, I think that was Geoff Harker, wasn't it? Yeah, I read the account of it. It was really awfully.
Grim. He fell off a ledge. He was doing some roof repairs and fell through a ceiling and crashed the ground. And they thought he was a goner. So I mean, yeah, he's A, lucky to still be with us, and B, it's great to see that the horses are helping with his recovery. Okay, naps time.
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with Keith Melrose. Just one bet on Saturday for us, please.
Oh, probably Mascot, I think. Yeah, the Scottish Summit price won't hold up. That will shorten.
So we're going to go with Mascot, and that is in the
150.
In the 150 at Newmarket. Thank you very much, Keith. G-Rod, who's your nap?
I'll go with Sir Ron Priestley in the 3 o'clock Newmarket.
And Graham Temple.
He won't win by much, but I'm napping up Pile Driver to put his head down on the line in the 3 o'clock at Newmarket.
Thank you. Let's do Sunday next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus begambleaware.org.
Okay, we move our attention to Sunday now. Great classic doubleheader this weekend, and it's 1,000 guineas day at Newmarket. Four races on ITV. We'll start with the big one. It takes place at 3:40, 12 go to post. And Graham Temple, this Santa Barbara, who's come from absolutely nowhere and been punted at huge prices, is now really short, isn't she?
Yeah, we've got her a 5-4, Aidan O'Brien's charge. Sacred's the second favourite for William Haggis at 6-1. Alcohol Free, 13-2. 8-1, Saffron Beach. 10-1, Mother Earth. It's 12, Statement. 14s and bigger the rest. And we're going four places on the race.
Graham Rodway, we've got two pieces of evidence to assess Santa Barbara. First of all, we've got her one and only career run, which was in a maiden at the car last September, which she won really, really well. And two, we've got this enormous gamble and all the whispers that suggest she is absolutely brilliant. So what do we make of it? Do we just go with it? Do we just accept that this is a classic Aidan O'Brien, you know, next superstar, and just accept that she's going to win, even though, you know, you can kind of hold your nose when you're looking at the price? Or do we stick to our guns and say that one of the more established classic generation fillies gets the job done?
Yeah, I mean, it is an absolute nightmare race for a tipster like me, really, to look at, because, as you say, we've got all these great vibes coming out of Ballydoyle about Santa Barbara. I think Aidan has said something along the lines of he hasn't got anything that can go better than her on the bridle. He just can't wait to see what happens when she comes off the bridle. So, in a way, I kind of want to see her blast away when she does come off the bridle, and maybe we will see a real superstar filly. And it's not like he's carpet bombing this race like he is with the 2000, is it? He's only really got this one. I know his friend Frankie's on a second string, but everything's telling you that this thing is a proper filly, Santa Barbara, and we all want to see stars in the game, don't we? And I hope that she is as good as Aidan O'Brien thinks she is. But as a tipster, my job is not to sit here and tip horses that have run once in maidens that have really not worked out, has it, her maiden? I know she won it easily, but it doesn't look a great race. She got an RPR of 91, which is fairly high for a maiden first time out. But 5-4, though, it's not really my job to be putting up that type. And it's the sort of race where you would rather put one up at a bigger price. I think Saffron Beach will definitely give you a good run for your money each way. I hope Santa Barbara wins. It's not a race I'll be playing in. It's a watching race, but it's a really good watching race, isn't it, Bruce?
Yes, I think you've summed it up well there. Graham Temple, what's your view of this one going to be? Sit and watch, or can you get involved?
Oh, I'll get involved in this because Sacred is at an each way price currently at 6-1, and we're going to four places. This Sacred is the one that I will be backing each way. Ran 18 days ago here at Newmarket when it dwelt at the start, and it didn't get a clear run as well in the latter stages, and even close home idled a little bit. I think this Sacred saved a little bit for itself, so if there's any chinks in Santa Barbara's armour, I think Sacred would be the one to expose them. So Sacred each way for me.
I like a bit of that. Four places, 12 runners. That does give you some incentive to take on the jolly. Keith, how are you looking at this one? It's kind of intriguing in a way, but I don't know. Did you see this as one where you're just going to sit it out and learn and maybe admire the second coming, or will you take her on?
I absolutely always take on horses like Santa Barbara. And I was thinking there while other guys were answering, I was thinking, why? Why am I like that? I'm one of those punters that does that. And I think what it is because I'm never going to punt professionally. I've not got the temperament for it, among many other things. So punting's a hobby for me. It's my sort of greatest hobby, in punting on the horses and all that. And if Santa Barbara wins the guineas, Aidan O'Brien's got it right. But it's not about that. If my hobby was cryptic crosswords instead, I wouldn't want to be given the answers. It's about me being right. So that's why I can never go for these horses like Santa Barbara. You know, that it's all about, you know, nothing we've seen on the track suggests she should be anything like this price for the guineas. So I can't back her. I'm going to have a go against her. The sensible bet in the race is exactly what Graham said. It's sacred each way. She is getting better by the look of things. The way she won here last time, the one in El Gwyn, was of a horse that, even though she was an early two-year-old and very well regarded at that stage, she is obviously getting better now she's three. You're getting four places in a 12-runner race, and she's 6-1. That is very much a sensible bet. And I think if Santa Barbara isn't quite the horse I've seen or led to believe she is, I think Sacred might be the likeliest winner.
Interesting. Excellent. Okay, thank you very much indeed, gents. That is a really intriguing race set. I might, now I know this four places, I might bung a few quid at Fev Rover, but I suspect that is more of a sentimental bet than anything else, but I just love it. Okay, the 150 at Newmarket is over a mile and a half. It's the back and lay on Betfair Exchange handicap and just the six runners, but it's pretty open, Graham.
Yeah, Zabil Champion tops the market at 2-1, 3-1 Grand Bazaar. Rodrigo Diaz is 7-2 shot, 5-1 Global Storm. And then after that, 10 Sky Defender and Hayana, the outsider of the field, of 14-1.
And we'll stick with you for the first tip.
I went for Grand Bazaar in this because on both of its visits to Newmarket, both on this course and on the July course, it won. It goes well on quick ground as well. John and Thady Gosden, Frankie Dettori, strong connections, returning from a break. Loves it at Newmarket, clearly. So I'm going to side with Grand Bazaar.
Who are you going to side with, Keith?
It's not going to be a big betting race for me. I hope Zabio Champion goes off a very short price favourite after Mascat, the horse he beat at Ripon last time, wins the Suffolk Stakes by half the track. But probably won't be backing him in this. If I was going to have a bet, it would probably be Sky Defender. I think that price is very, very big. But whether I will or not, I'm not decided yet. You know, he is among the rags in this race at the moment. I think that's a little bit harsh on him, but I will check the prices before I get tucked in.
Jolly good, Graham.
Yeah, we've got the Sunday Sizzlers this weekend. The Kills will be writing those, and I'll be very, very surprised if Hyanna doesn't appear in those. He's one of his old favourites, that is Kilsey, Hyanna, and I think she'll run well again here. You know, she's got a good record fresh, and Eve Johnson Houghton String is really at form. I think she's won with her last three runners. Georgie Adobe claiming £5. She always goes underestimated in the market, this horse Hyanna, but she's very, very tough and game, and I think she'll run well again.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Let's move on to the 225 at Newmarket. It is the Betfair Pretty Polly. It's over 10 furlongs, and we've got eight runners, so we've got potential for an each-way punt here. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Ashari for Charlie Appleby, 15-8 joint favourite alongside C Carrots for William Haggis. It is 13-2 Lady Hayes, 7-1 Alba Rose, 9-1 Mystery Angel, and it's 11-1 and bigger the rest.
Away you go, Keith.
Yeah, this is probably the most sort of boring tip of the whole thing. This Ashari is just a very good horse, isn't she? I think she'll win.
Okay. Graham Rodway?
Oh, I thought this was a decent race for Bet because I didn't think that Ashari was an absolute certainty, and I definitely don't fancy C Carrots. I thought she really has got a lot to find. I know she was favourite for a maiden at Newbury last time, but 74, first time out RPR, a lot to find stepping up to Pretty Polly's level. So the two favourites are more than opposable for me, and Lady Hayes will definitely improve for the step up in trip on pedigree. She's really related to some strong stayers, and I think she's got just about the best form in this race. If you take away her run last time in Deauville on really testing ground, the Group 3 race, she'd won her first two starts. Yeah, Roger Varian seems a good price to me, Lady Hayes.
Okie dokes, and Graham Temple.
I thought that Shari ran extremely green on debut 247 days ago. Charlie Appleby's getting plenty of winners lately, as we all know. Step Up and Trip, it's an unknown, it's one of these watch races for me, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a Shari winning. But just quickly to add, I see Mark Johnston has won in this as well, Alba Rose. I was looking at how Mark Johnston's horses are going over the last week, and I don't know, some people like following statistics, but in the last 6 or 7 days, Mark Johnston has had at least 2 winners every day. So he'll be getting a couple of winners on Saturday, and I just wonder, will Alba Rose be one of them? But it's a leave-alone race for me.
Well, didn't he have, he has 2 winners every day throughout the year. He's got about 2,000 horses, hasn't he? Christ, don't start trying to read Mark Johnson's horses. That's the most impossible task in racing. Okay, let's see how impossible the 3 o'clock at Newmarket is. It's a mile and 1 furlong for the Betfair Daily Stakes. A Group 2, Queen Power heads the market with Paddy Power at 9-4. Lavender's Blue at 7-2. Furat at 9-2. 11-2 posted. 10-1 bar. Who wins? Graham Rodway.
I like Posted as a horse. Think she's very, very useful. And she finally showed it at Sandown last year when she set quite a steady pace, to be fair. But she absolutely hammered Montatham, who I thought was quite a useful horse going into that race. It was kind of a performance that she'd been threatening to produce throughout her career, but it was the first time she really put it all together. Now, she was disappointing at this track on her final start over the course and distance Group 3 company, but that was on soft ground. And I think that Posted will really appreciate coming back to better conditions.
OK, Posted is Graham Rodway's selection. Who's Graham Temple's selection?
I thought Freya ran really well the other day at Nottingham in the Nottinghamshire Oaks last Tuesday. It's a nice each-way price, and I've already mentioned Mark Johnson's going particularly well lately. A quick reappearance. So at the prices, I'd probably play with Freya here each way.
Oh, can't someone endorse my love of Lavender's Blue here, Keith?
You should have got DJ on for that. Doesn't he like Lavender's Blue?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
She's been well found in the market, one of the likelier winners. I was with Graham with Freya. I think she might be one of Mark Johnson's allotted 2 winners on Sunday. She's just got the right sort of style about going about things. She's steadily progressive, all the sort of things you want to see in a horse like this at this stage. So yeah, I just thought she was a very sporting price at about 10s.
Okay, chaps, before we finish, is there anything else on Sunday that you like? There's 2 more ITV races, the 205 at Salisbury, the 240 at Hamilton. G-Rod, anything?
No, nothing for me.
Okay, Graham Temple?
I thought Hockfield on Tuesday at Nottingham put up a really battling performance. He was not for passing. Go away, you're not getting by me, the horse said to all its rivals. He's up £4 on Sunday in the 240 at Hamilton. And I tell you one thing, whatever horse gets by Hockfield or Hockfeld for Mark Johnston again is the one that'll win the race. But I think Hockfeld might well repel the Raiders again.
Okay, and Keith, what have you got for us?
It's just one, and it's in the same race as Graham, actually. We've been agreeing all afternoon, but we disagree on this one. Hockfeld beat Lostwithiel at Nottingham the other day, and I thought the second was extremely green. It was only his third run. I think he would have gone past if he was more professional. Hockfeld got a brilliant ride in the front from Ben Curtis, to be fair. But that's Ben Curtis for you these days. I think Hockfeld might be a little bit vulnerable up with his £4 penalty. I thought Outright All Right Sunshine loomed up in the race at Musselburgh, the Queen's Cup, is it? The Max We Can won in April there. Looked like he was going to put down a big challenge a couple of furlongs out. Didn't really see it out, and nothing really got involved from off the pace that day, which is where he came from. I think there's more to come from him. I think he might end up getting sent top on RPRs, Rodders, so when we meet up later and discuss that, we might have to make sure All Right Sunshine is top. But he's the one I'll be putting up.
Right, always back All Right Sunshine, so I shall be doing so again. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, chaps, that's it. What a great weekend. Thank you very much for all your wisdom. Good luck with all your tips. Thank you for listening as ever. It's always great to have your company. Maddie's back on Monday with the team to pick through the classic clues and see what it means for the rest of the season. Don't miss that. And we're back next Friday. In between times, of course, we've got fantastic Chester. The flat season is back up and running. Make sure you stick with the postcards all the way through for all the great action. Thanks very much indeed. Enjoy your weekend.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.